A Fish Out of Water by Browsra. For Monster Stuck 2024, a competition run on the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. It was a warm June morning, and Salix had finally decided on a debate that was plaguing him for weeks on end, whether or not he would go to that night's party. To get to the reason why that'd be difficult to decide, you'd need to understand a few things, like the fact that he lived in the typical Riverside small town where everyone knew each other except for him. This segues into another crucial part of understanding why that was such a difficult question. Salix had grown up as an outcast. Many assumed he was some sort of folklorical creature that had transformed into another creature at night, some may say werewolf, but he was nicknamed as several other cryptids on his school days. He had spent the latter half of said school days having feelings for one Aradia, and was disappointed when she ended up with the jerk who treats her badly, Equius. To his defense, he was right, and their relationship troubles could be dabbled on further if the narrative was willing to center itself around them. To get our attention back on our protagonist, I'll pan the metaphorical camera of the plot on him doing an ordinary day-to-day activity, going shopping. Well, returning from shopping, he was carrying several bags of food that his parents always told him would make him sick. He was distracted in thought when he bumped into his good friend Karkat. Sorry.
Dipshit, do you... Oh shit, what's up?
Karkat transitioned from shout to a more friendly tone when he saw his face.
Well, nothing much, as usual. Salix said.
Will you go to tonight's party? Karkat asked.
Yeah, why do you ask?
Salix replied with another question.
Well, I was planning for you and me to skip it so we could stay at my place and watch this movie I rented, Karkat said.
Oh, sorry, could we reschedule it to next week, though?
Why are you even going to the party, dude? You don't even have a partner.
Karkat was slowly returning to the shouty tone he had used earlier, much to Salix's dismay.
Well, I was planning to find a partner there.
Salix's lisp was starting to show more.
Who knows? Maybe there's a single lady who's also looking for a guy there.
Karkat's tone had settled back down into a more relaxed yet still pissed off sound.
Have you ever heard of the legend of the pink-colored dolphin?
Do it funny.
Why do you think I believe this to be folk tales?
Salix replied.
Just be forewarned if a girl refuses to—
Although, isn't that legend based around the idea of a dolphin pretending to be a guy to fool a girl into getting pregnant?
How would that affect me?
I guess you're right. That conversation was over. From there on, Salix spent the day doing boring shit that wouldn't be worth mentioning, so I'll skip to the part I think everyone is waiting for, the party. Well, I suppose you didn't think the narration would have full control of the narrative, right? The narrative is currently forcing us to rewind back to an hour before Salix actually shows up at the party. So there he was, lounging around in his living room. He had just finished downloading Windows 95 on his computer. That was a gift from his friend, Eridan. One may interpret the quotation marks around friend as whatever matches your view of said relationship. It wasn't the newest operation system around. And of course, Windows 2000 had just been released last February. He was a habitually late person, so he only bothered to start putting on his clothes by the time the sun was already setting. He put on an outfit that the narrative has seemingly decided that it would rather purposefully obfuscate in this tale rather than ever describe it in minimal detail. He left the house by the time the streets were dark. The party was only a few blocks away on the Riverside Boardwalk, a place which Salix never visited often. He still knew the place, it just wasn't fresh in his memory. Salix arrived just as the party was getting started. It was more of a community event than anything. The place was crowded and filled with people that he didn't know. He did spot Aradia leaning on the railing looking at the river. They exchanged greetings, then Salix asked,
"How's Equius?"
"I'm waiting for him," she said coldly. It was almost as if it were an insult. It was enough to make Salix back off from her. If there's one thing he noticed, and that was aching in his mind, was that she was wearing long sleeves with a Sagittarius sign instead of her usual short-sleeved Aries shirt. His concerns got cleared, almost as if they never existed, when he saw a woman he didn't recognize. Her curly hair was the first thing he noticed before seeing she had a Panama hat on, alongside a beautiful skirt. He was too shy to say anything. He was lucky, though. She looked at him and asked,
"Hey, what's your name?"
"Salix Cather, and yours?" He was flustered, yet still kept this facade of confidence for her.
"Fetheri Pixies, nice to meet you."
He didn't know how to keep the conversation going. She seemed pretty interested in him, though, and asked him, "What do you do?" He almost died inside, trying to come up with a way to make basically unemployed but I do gigs palatable to her. But as he was going to speak a lie that would have cost him a lot in the hypothetical long run, she cut him off. "You don't work as well, right?" She started talking about something he didn't quite understand, about how she didn't know much about the idea of pain, and how she wanted to experience some hardship. Not really what he wanted to talk about, yet he still stayed by her side. The narrative is a beast by itself, and it's currently in a hell of its own creation. As I, the narrator, tried to explain the what happens next, it barked to me about how I was wrong about how the story went. It told me it witnessed it firsthand that Feferi was considerably more flirtatious, something that I personally do not believe. As an attempt to appease it, as disrespecting it would be a threat to my own existence as the narrator, I'll just skip to the next moment, where they aren't talking. So now Silex and Feferi seem to be talking in the riverside by the woods.
"I never thought you'd be able to tolerate me, if I'm being real," Silex said.
"Well, I did end up tolerating you."
Silex wasn't in a particularly good mood. I could probably have better theories if we had the chance to see the rest of the party, but now we've been left to interpret based on the tears on Silex's shirt that something went wrong. Oh, I realized I barely even bothered to describe the surroundings. So Silex was sitting on a rock that's on the riverbank, and Feferi is swimming almost as if she were a fish. Well, I think you could guess by the way Carcat brought up a pink-colored dolphin that she probably is said cryptid. You may also have never heard of it, which is okay since you're now part of today's lucky 10,000. You may also have hoped that this story wouldn't have devolved to me, the narrator, having a direct dialogue with the audience, which is fairly foolish in my eyes, as I personally think I'm way more interesting than whatever these fuckers are doing. But I'll do something for you before the narrative notices. I'll pan the camera back on them. Right now they seem to be talking about how Feferi needs to be back home by sunrise.
"Hey, why not try one last thing?"
Silex said this with probably the missing context of a first kiss or whatever couples do for the first time on first dates. I'm not into romance, so it's not like I would know much about it. Feferi's confused until he says, "A word I can't say?" The narrative refuses to let me say this word because the T would turn into an E. I describe what they did next, but much to my despair, the narrative refuses to let me use many nouns and verbs that start with fun letters due to the same reasons described above. What I can say is that by next morning, Silex was confused and naked, of course. Feferi's clothes were in a pile by his own, yet she was nowhere to be seen. Usually I'd not tell what happened from the other lover's perspective, however, I find it mildly amusing. So here's a basic rundown. Feferi transformed back into a dolphin, then swam back to her city, and that was akin to a utopia, so to speak. There was neither pain nor death, and plenty of riches. She entered her sea cave and saw Mina and Kronos.
"Hi there. We were looking for you for ages. Where the glob have you been?"
"I snuck out to a party."
"What? Do you remember what happened last time Kronos did that?"
"Not really."
Mina whispers something in Cronus's blowhole.
"So, back when I was your age, I snuck out to one of those human parties and met this beautiful human. To make a long story short, we bred, and I had to leave because the ball in the sky rose. A year later, I go back to a party happening at the same spot. It turns out she had a kid and named him Aridon. And the worst part is that the kid ended up being a reject, because after all, it was a relationship in between two species. Nowadays, I don't go up to the surface anymore. Mostly because some people try to hunt me, and also because my kid ended up being he ended up unstable. Like humans usually are, you know?"
"Wow.
So, Feferi, can you promise you didn't breed with any humans while up on the surface?"
"I promise."
"I'm gonna choose to trust you."
They left her alone after that. Nothing really happens from this point onwards. That is, if you don't count pregnancy as something, Silex seems to have done something many other female characters did in my heyday, and some other male... Wait, did I tell you about myself? I'm the narrator, the one who narrates basic English, I suppose. I narrated every story that was ever written, read, or otherwise thought of. I have narrated a lot, but always forget, and now suddenly, while I was reading this one, I remembered everything. Shit. The narrative is a weird semi-sentient being. I can't say much about it out of fear and out of a fundamental lack of knowledge. It doesn't like when I'm self-aware. I suppose I can go back to pretending I am a simple retailer. Solix sat by the riverbank for many days and nights to come, always waiting for her to return. Of course, she never did. At some point he had to give birth, and then that's where my script ends. I suppose I can tell you to read something else and tell no soul I have gained self-awareness.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.